It's Darren Winston's Book Report.
Hey, Jill.
And Social Diary. Hey, Darren. All right, so if you get invited to somebody's house, it's always if you invite a cook over, a chef, there's always a... Do people just sort of harpoon you and drag you into the
library? No, well, it's funny.
Two
things happen, because one of these happened very recently where my wife and I went to a dinner party at somebody's house, and the hostess seemed to be sort of embarrassed by the fact that I could see all of her books like they were naked, and that there was some story being told. It was almost like she was embarrassed on behalf of her books not being sort of good enough quality.
Dusted?
No, not even that, just the quality of them. As though, you know, it's true, I can walk into a room and I can quickly see whether the books are of consequence or not. And I'm just talking about financially.
Or even more commercially. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not...
So, and then starts the apologizing. Oh, those are, you know, my son's, or I picked those up at the dump or whatever. And so the opposite side is that I do have this kind of funny x-ray vision where I don't have to even pick up the book. I mean, obviously I do and need to find out more information, but I can tell an awful lot from across the room without ever touching it. And that's just because that's what I do. I assume that a mechanic will open up the hood of my car and see all sorts of problems that I don't, because I just see a nest of wires and hoses and stuff.
And I'm only interrupting because this happened. I mean, I've always had this with in terms of art or something, certain objects. You know, if you have trained in that area, then you're going to just... That is what you're going to look at. It never occurred to me, though, that someone would sort of start or be dis... Maybe it's because my eyes aren't that good, but that someone would be mildly apologetic about their stuff if I walked in.
Right. I think, I mean, it's the same as if you run into a friend at the market early in the morning and they didn't bother to put their makeup on or get out of their running clothes or something.
Oh, that's me every day, so there's no worries.
And they might say, you know, they sort of make excuses because they feel bad. And it's the same sort of thing, and I totally get it. And I probably would do the same thing if I had an expert coming on a certain thing. But, of course, because it's socially, that's the awkward moment. If it was professionally...
Then you'd polish up the thing and hope for the best.
But also, it's interesting. If I went to that same person's house, let's say, on a professional call, they would react perhaps in the same way with a completely different set of terms or just different language. Instead of politely apologizing, just saying, these are all bad because, and it would be much more matter of fact, as though they were defending them, whereas in the social setting, it's more of a charming, I left my, nightgown out.
Sorry about the laundry.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you... And I can't imagine, I hope you answer this yes, but when you walk into somebody's house, do you see their books and do you, I don't want to say make a judgment in any pejorative way, but do you ever go, ooh, they've got a, there's that copy, there's that first of Wuthering Heights I've been looking for.
Sometimes, usually when I go... go into somebody's house, and again, not professionally, I don't look at the books. I mean, I know I have friends and colleagues who will walk into a situation like that and immediately go to the area of their expertise and stare at things up and down. I don't do that because I sort of think, okay, that's, it's after 6 o'clock, we're not doing that. But if I'm at someone's home and I keep seeing a few things throughout the evening, I will take in, or I will be intrigued enough to want to take something off the shelf. And occasionally I'll say to the host or hostess, do you mind if I look at that? That looks interesting. Because I want to confirm my suspicion, but I also am dying to tell them, do you have any idea what that is? And of course, for the most part, people who have good books know it. It's not, if there's a bunch of good books, they don't get surprised because there's a slightly better book amongst them. They tend to know, even if their information is out of date, they'll just know that it's better than the next one. Whereas very often, if I were in my... I remember when I first visited my parents' library after I had some sense of the book world, and I say that visiting a library, meaning going back into our family room where all the books were.
No, but it's almost as though you've gone to finishing school or gone to the military or something, and you come back and you've got a completely different perspective on something that was part of your life from dot.
Exactly. So I remember pulling books off the shelves. Oh, that's a book club edition. Oh, that's a reprint. That's a this, that's a that. And in fact, I never found there was no sleepers.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I do, but I'd like to think that elsewhere in the stuff that they owned, there is and were perhaps things of interest. But back to the visitation. So I'm very...
Conscientious,
because I don't want people to feel like, oh, yes, you know, you have the entire Franklin Library set, and that's really not a big deal. You know, I don't go there, as they say.
And you're proud of that. You know, and there's, how do you handle, this is a sort of social awkwardness, but there are people who think that sometimes they have something they don't have, and they want you to sign off on it.
Right. I will do that thing where I sort of repeat a lot of the information fed to me right back at them. Like, you're right, that is a... faux leather-bound thing done in the last 5 years. And I'll just find some attribute. I'll just say that it was really well done, or there's always something about it. Because if you imagine a book is like a sculpture or a car, you can turn it around. There are different elements. You can say, look, they did a really nice job with this. Or I'll point out, because one of those, the Easton Press, and the Easton Press is the publisher that you see these modern leather-bound books that are either classics or more contemporary things, but they have a look which is not that polished if you compare them to sort of vintage leather-bound books, just the quality and everything, and they're also done by the thousands, not by the ones. And I'll just point out how well they did a certain thing, or that they chose to use moiré silk and leaves as opposed to something else, and then I might say, oh, did you know how they attach end papers, or in this case, end leaves, because it's not a piece of paper. And I try and just show them something that is true about what they have that is interesting, despite the fact that I don't think it's intrinsically beautiful or important or valuable.
Or it doesn't change the value of it.
Right. Just point out, did you know this thing about that? And even somebody showed me, they sent me photos of, I often tell people, before you bring 5 cartons of books for me to go through, take some pictures, and I can save us both a lot of trouble. Or, so it's either going to make me say, you know what, those can go to the dump, or bring those in, there's some jewels in there. And I'll say, oh, I notice that you've got a bunch of books, in this case, published by the Easton Press. The Call of the Wild, Moby Dick, those sorts of titles don't really have much resale value when it comes to that publisher. But there are modern writers like John Updike who did special editions through that company where they're signed and they're numbered and there is a value, and you suddenly go from zero to much more than zero. And occasionally you'll find one of those mixed in and you can say, oh, I see you've got the John Updike title, and hopefully I'm remembering correctly that he did do part of that. But Updike's also one of those writers who there's a million limited editions of his works anyway.
But what's important is that it is a weird combination, because I see more and more people just sending pictures of things that they don't know what they're sending or posting pictures of things that they're just really – it's out of context.
Right.
And as we get more and more into this evanescent digital universe, its context becomes, as far as I'm concerned as an old person, even more crucial. So it's one thing to send a photograph of a box of books, but you've got to send it to someone who will know what that's a photograph of.
Right.
And who can say, right, Updike did a limited edition through this. So if you've got one of those in there, or if that's someplace else, you know, you might be onto something.
Right.
And I know that one tries to be encouraging.
Always, yeah, because you also don't know, and this has happened more times than I can remember, where you're given 500 terrible things to look at, and the 501st is fantastic for any number of reasons. Yeah. So, and also, I know what it takes, I guess, emotionally to go to someone and sort of bare yourself, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, I inherited these things, or I collected them when I was a kid, or whatever. You know, there's a bit of bearing themselves to you, and you need to be respectful of that and say, you know, what a cool collection, and just, again, tell them things about it that might seem obvious to you, but not so much to them. And if there's a thing of value, you pluck it out. And if there isn't, which is, again, often the case, I always point out to people how special it is to have, you know, a book that belonged to your parents, your grandparents, or a great uncle. And I have books in my own library that belonged to, I say ancestors, but I'm only talking a couple of generations back, so great uncles and aunts. And I think they're long gone from this earth, but I have this book of theirs with their beautiful signature in the front, and perhaps it has an address of a house they long since moved from. And I say, you know, that's a thing of value. And even if you don't see it, your kids might, or your grandkids might. So if you can stand to stick that one in a closet, you know, maybe get rid of the incomplete Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedia, because that's not going to gain any value. But these other things, and some people will say, well, it's beat to death. You know, my grandmother loved this book. And I'll say, well, on the market, it has no value. But the fact is, not only was it your grandmother's, but she's the one who beat it to death. That's kind of neat that she loved it so much. And she was reading this in 1908, and she didn't have radio as an alternative. And she lived in a rural area, so she didn't get to go to the movies. And you try and recreate, however briefly, what the situation was when this book was doing its initial job, and say, those are all reasons to keep it. Because even if you don't realize that, now that I've told you, you can sort of investigate further and pass that along. And I've got a book that belonged to my dad, which he would have had in the early 1930s, height of the Depression, living in New York City, not in great circumstances. And this book, which is not of much value to me, is imbued with so many different things. And I keep it on my shelf amongst more, quote, serious things. And I think about, not only was it important, but he wasn't able to keep much. And that was one of them. So even if he can't tell me why he kept it, he kept it. And 80-some years later, he's still going. The book is still going. I've actually read the book to my son, and I'm going to give it to him, and it'll keep going. And there's something nice about that. And it goes back to that sort of mojo, for lack of a better word.
Or anchor.
Yeah.
And as people talk about things being fleeting and how exciting it is for it to be fleeting, you know, great, fine, fleeting in the moment. It's 20 years on when you go, oh, wait.
Right, where is that? Or worse, what do I have to represent that moment in time? Like a photograph, perhaps used to do this more so, maybe less so now, but who doesn't like going through old photographs and not only remembering, you know, you look at the picture of yourself or you and your family, but it's the, oh, I remember that car. Oh, I remember when the house was that color. I look in the background, that's the neighbor's cat and stuff. I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but people who like their china and their silver and their pictures and their rugs, they sort of get what goes into those things and what they perhaps represent. And by doing that caretaking bit that we do, we pass it along, and hopefully, despite all we were talking about with the digital age, people want to sit on the rug that their great-grandfather sat on when he was listening to the wireless in, you know, 19-blinkety-blink.
It's Darren Winston's Book Report.
Thanks, Jill.